failing in life does not mean failure. It's about failing and getting back up. The point is not to hear about how wonderful their life is, because it's to show all of us and all of you who think that, you know, oh, that looks so easy. It's not. It's about failing and going again, and failing and going again, and never giving up. Whole team limitless. Never said we above. Whole crowd showing love. Yeah, overcame when they couldn't believe. Hot sweat, tears, blood on the leaves. So Brad, tell you, I want to talk about you. So you come from a very known family, Baskin and Robbins, for those of you who know ice cream, and basically created the ice cream franchise, and you know, Brad Baskin. And Brad and I are not just dear friends, but we're basically co-parents. My other best friend is my ex-wife and mother of my child. It's Brad's significant other, and we have an 8-year-old together. So Brad, me, and her basically raise him. Tommy, and he's the best. And we know each other very well, and you're always an inspiration to me, because I watch you like balance 5 kids plus Bryce. So that Bryce is like the equivalent of 5 more, like 10 kids.
True.
Top residential real estate broker. You've been on a million-dollar listing multiple times. That's obviously your company. You sell $20 million houses like they're butter, and you manage Bryce, and, you know, I don't know, you launched an energy drink of your own. An alcohol vodka drink that you put together. You've been an incredible entrepreneur. Like, what do you think is, in your mind, you know, thinking about failure and success, you know, there's a fine line, and you've gone through a lot of it. You know, when I look at it, I just see success. In your life, I just see success, because it's like commercial real estate, boom, success. I watch you go, no, I want to go to residential, boom, immediately overnight. Biggest firm in Los Angeles, biggest broker in Los Angeles. You're like, Ryan, should I do this management thing? Boom, you're managing the number one, you know, I wouldn't call Bryce a social media star anymore. I just call him talent, number one entertainment talent, you know, in the world. You just seem like whatever you put your mind to, you just succeed at. Like, I don't know, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but when Brad was married to his wife, when he got divorced, he was overweight.
Fat.
He was fat. He was large, and which was surprising to a lot of us, because all of us who knew in high school knew Brad, he was very in shape, and he was very overweight. I don't want to take your thunder, but I just remember a year later, he won like the biggest bodybuilding contest and was like Mr. America or Mr. Universe or one of those. So like, I don't know, I look at all that and I'm like, you can do anything you want, but like, tell me, you know, in there, was there failure? And if there was, what was the most significant failure that affected you, and how did it define your life?
Well, first of all, thank you for everything you said.
It's true.
I've never heard myself summed up like that. And I don't know, I've never seen myself like that. I mean, when I started out in commercial real estate, you know, the way we made money and got leads was cold calling. And I was at Marks and Millichap, and it's basically like a boiler room, you know? And you just make calls all day, and they would track the calls, and whoever had the most calls and connections at the end of the day was, you know, they were like awarded, and it was like everyone talked about it. So I was making like 120, 130 calls a day to people I didn't know. And basically hearing, fuck you, don't call me again, like 110 times. You know, and the ratio changes because, you know, you learn how to do it, and it's like verbal jujitsu, right? So it's like you get beaten down, and I wanted to quit, and I was like, this is just, I don't understand how anyone does this. But I don't like losing, you know, I don't accept it. So I'll just keep losing and losing and losing until I find a way to beat that system or to get the overhand on whatever it is. So yeah, you know, like I said, your ratio changes. You start, you know, making 120 calls and you're, you know, getting like 2 meetings, and then it becomes, you know, you're making 100 calls and getting 6 meetings because your calls are lasting longer because you're connecting. And then it's, you know, 90 calls and you have 12 meetings. And then pretty soon you're making only 30 or 40 calls because you're out pitching. You know, you end up getting these meetings. So it's like, the tide changes, right? And you just grow your skills.
So you were like failing 115 times a day, basically.
Oh man.
And using that to learn to then only fail 30 times a day to then only fail 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Like, is that kind of what it sounds like?
Yeah. And this is, as I said, this is after I lost my job. I'm married. I decided to go into real estate, and you know, I'm all proud. I have this new job. I'm getting dressed up in these suits, you know, and you look like, you know, oh yeah, I'm killing it. You look in the mirror, like, wake up. I'm the lion in the jungle. I would tell myself, I go in there and just feel like a piece of shit. Immediately by like 9:30, I was just like, oh God, how much time do I have to do this? And you know, you can not make the calls, right? You don't have a boss watching over you in real estate. So people are like, oh yeah, you know, you have all the time in the world, you're your own boss. Sure, but you don't have any money guaranteed. So, you know, for like 8 months, I had nothing coming in. And then I would get a lead and it would go great and I'd be able to close it, but I'd bring someone else with me because I wasn't confident enough to really seal the deal and get the signatures. So I'd bring all these other agents in with me. So I'm getting like, you know, 10% of my own deal, 20% of this deal and that. And then finally I was like, dude, fuck it. I've been with enough deals. I have enough stories to tell. I'm going on my own. I'm going to do this. And I just started, you know, getting things done. And it felt really, really amazing to turn that corner.
What I think to me the most inspirational story, and that one's for sure, because there's so many people who are probably facing that in their own life, whether it's, you know, boxers starting who feel like they're just training every day, or people who are at brokerages, or, you know, they're all feeling that. But like, so you were super in shape your whole life, going through a divorce, which is obviously tough, and you're as you said, you were fat. And somehow, do you have the picture in your phone? I mean, we'll cut, we can put up, you know, so hopefully right here or somewhere.
I mean, it is my party trick. I don't want to pull it out.
You should pull it out. Can you pull it out? You have it?
He wants to pull it out. He's saying he doesn't
want to. Don't make me.
I want to pull it out. So as you guys can see in this picture, that's a year, 1 year. So you go from what a lot of people would say are pretty overweight to like, fat. You look like you're 24 years old. You're the most ripped. You're like, you. I know that as we talked about, they drug tested you for everything. You had no substances. It was all natural to me that you went from, were you failing and somehow succeeded? Or like, tell me about that. What was going through you? What where were you in life? Like,
I mean, professionally I was doing okay. I didn't really have much drive. You know, unhappy in my marriage. You know, we just sort of grew up together, best friends, amazing kids, you know, four kids, raising them together, and just something, you know, we just weren't on the same page anymore. You know, with the kids and just sort of with everything. And I went to this reunion for my high school and I saw these, you know, a whole bunch of girls and you know, guys I grew up with. And I came home and I told my ex-wife, and she doesn't mince words, you know, which I love. She's just straight up about everything. It's really refreshing. If you ask her a question, you're going to get the answer. Sometimes you shouldn't ask. So anyway, I told her, I said, look, you know, God, these people really fell off. You know, so-and-so just looked terrible. It looked like a handbag, and she was fat and this and that. And I was just thrashing people like an asshole, right? Because I wasn't I was unhappy myself. So it's easy to like just put it out there and just be, you know, mean. And she said, I'll never forget it. She said, yeah, you know, you really shouldn't talk. I was like, what? She said, yeah, you're fat. You're really fat. Like, you're not who you used to be, and you're not looking that great. And I was like, oh my God, dude.
Then you look in the mirror, you're like, true.
Well, No. That's the best part. So I was like, fuck you. Like, I'm good, you know?
And I'm fucking jacked.
And then that night I didn't sleep in the room, obviously, you know? I went out to my back house and was like, oh my God. And I'll never forget. I took off my clothes to go to bed and I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh my God. I am a fat piece of shit right now. Like, she's totally right. So,
I don't know what's more funny, the fact that you didn't know you were that fat, or that you needed her to say it.
I love your guys' relationship.
I like how we can laugh at my failures. Yours are so serious.
Hey, I was fat too. I was fat too. Yeah. I wasn't that fat, but I was fat.
Oh my God. We also weren't that jacked. Yeah, so I just decided right then and there. I actually woke up in the morning, went in the room, and I said, thank you so much. You know, I'm going to do it now. Like, I'm glad you said that. So I printed a picture of myself when I was 18. We were in the jacuzzi, you know, at my friend's house, like we just graduated. I just took this picture and, you know, holding this red cup, and I thought I was the stud, and I was jacked, you know, like I was in great shape. I told her I'm going to get like this, and she said, you're out of your mind, dude. Like, have a more realistic goal. You know, she's like, you're fat, you're hairy. Like, it's not a thing. You're not going to get like that.
How'd you get rid of the hairy, by the way?
I just went away when I got jacked.
Laser hair.
We could cut that out. No, so I'm keep going. Yeah, yeah. So you're fat.
I was not hairy.
You got a lie. Laser hair?
Yeah, I did. Okay, we're cutting that out though. So yeah. No, so she said, you know, you're fat. you know, you're old. You're not, it's not a thing. You're not going to be able to do it.
You're hairy. You're old. Yeah.
You're hairy. And so,
I feel like the next show we put you guys in couples counseling, but okay,
that's crazy.
Anyway, so I showed her the picture. I said, I'm going to get like this. She said, it's not possible. So I printed two more copies of the picture. I put one up in my mirror, in our bathroom. I put one at my desk and I put one at the gym. I went that day, got a gym membership. It's Equinox West LA, so I got an executive membership so that I could keep the same locker all the time. The only reason I did it was more money. I'm cheap. I did it so that I could have the picture there every day when I opened up my locker. So I started working out there for like 4 months and I was just like no results. I was wearing sweats thinking I could like do like the boxer routine and just sweat it out. And like I knew what I was doing because I was a stud back in the day. It was not working. And I was getting cold calls from trainers at the gym saying, oh yeah, you know, you have two free sessions. And I was like, yeah, I'm good, dude. I know what I'm doing, you know, stop. And then one day I just realized, okay, this is not happening fast enough. I'm going to do it. Went to the gym, had the free training session, got my body measurements and I was 28% body fat. And she's like, yeah, you're obese. It's like sick. It's not news, but yeah, can we fix that? So she says, yeah, you know, 100% we can. So 3 days a week, I start working out for like a month. And then this guy walks in the gym, huge guy named Victor Akani, I'm good friends with now. And I said, dude, who is that guy? I'm just massive. And she said, his name is Victor. He has his pro card. I said, what's a pro card? She said, it's in bodybuilding. You know, you become a pro, you qualify, you get your pro card. And I said, I want to get my pro card. I want to look like that. She's like, well, you can do it. I said, I thought to myself, this chick's on drugs. That's a lot. She said, I swear you can do it. You get trained 5 days a week. You have to listen to everything I say. Be accountable with your food. Change your lifestyle. Sleep schedule. No more drinking. Cut out the weed. And I said, okay, I'm in. Let's do it. We picked a date. Actually, it was Victor's show. Victor had a show like 9 months later. And I trained for the show. And then I won. I actually competed. My kids were in the front row. You know, it was physique competition. Like you said, totally tested. All natural. And I won. I won overall, novice, what's the one for older people? I forgot. I was 37.
Geriatric?
No, I was 37, masters. So I won masters as well. So three first place trophies, staying up with my hardware, kids in the front row. My parents were there, and I just felt like I was on top of the world.
So you went from, like, where you just felt terrible about yourself.
Yeah.
And would you say that, like, how'd that change your whole life? Like, do you feel like that changed the trajectory of your life?
It definitely did. first of all, sales, I mean, you know, when you look good and you feel good, you sell. You know, people want to be with you. They want to hang out with you. They want to be like you. They want to buy things from you. That's just, unfortunately, like, people do care about aesthetics that much, right?
Yep.
So, you know, I felt better about myself. I was more presentable. People seemed to respond to me differently. It also taught me that you don't control much in the world. You know, a lot of things just happen to you. You can't control. But the things you can control are what you put in your mouth and whether or not the weight moves. And you're the one that moves it or doesn't, right? 45 pounds is always 45 pounds. A calorie is always a calorie. 3,600 calories is a pound. You can be in a deficit. You can be in a surplus. You run it. That's the one thing you control. And it's not like other sports where you lose if somebody else doesn't pass the ball or somebody misses the shot or the coach doesn't do this or that. I mean, it's just you and the weight. So you determine if you win or not. And that just sort of powered me to take control of my life.
What would you tell that people out there who are struggling, whether it's with weight or diet or even some people just, you know, get very... When you stop working out, I've been through this in my life, when I'm up and down, where you get like kind of lazy and you don't, it's hard to get up sometimes and just do any kind of exercise. And
yeah.
You had to make such an extreme change. What advice would you give?
I would just say, you know, you can change it. I mean, if you'll see in my picture, it was pretty hectic. You know, the human body is an amazing thing and you just have to want it. If you want it badly enough, you can do it. It's not, there's nothing stopping you but you, really.
You feel different, like other than looking different and like knowing that you look different, do you feel like, do you physically, like, Do you feel, do you have more energy? Do you like,
oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I, you know, I used to wake up and I realized too, right before this whole thing with my ex-wife calling me fat, I would lay on the bed and lay down to pull my socks on because I couldn't lean over and actually get to my feet. And I'm, and this is not a joke. I know you're gonna laugh at that. But like, no, like I swear, I realized,
oh no,
I realized, such a dick. No, but I realized that like, I couldn't like do things normally. It was so weird. I didn't see it happening. I didn't notice, oh, I'm losing flexibility. Oh, I can't move the same way. It just was gone, you know?
Flexibility.
And, well.
Sorry, it's just that I can't imagine him being fat because I've known him since he's like been a gym freak. So, like, thinking about him going through those struggles is it's like, it goes in my head that that's hilarious.
Well, you and I
not
both,
that you were fat, it's just like that you
and I both know
struggles.
If he eats like a french fry, he goes to the gym for like 4 hours.
Oh my God,
day.
You know, after this, after he ate that cheeseburger, he's going to the gym for 5 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I didn't get cheese in my burger.
Oh, okay.
You so did.
3 hours.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, no, he got the cheese. That's why he looks like that. And I look like.
That's crazy because you have no idea what I'm hiding under. This is why I wear.
That's why you're hiding it.
No, I wear sweatshirts because I don't. I'm not like a cocky.
Dude, you're the
piece
before
of shit.
Picture.
I'm the before.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you guys hear this? Here, go back to my fight day. We'll see. That's what I look like right now, still.
So put Bryce, on my bodybuilding picture.
Do me a favor. You know, you've got a lot of people who listen to your words, and you know, you have people obviously who like to make fun of you. You have people who listen to you. But you got a whole world listening, more than 99.99999% of the whole world. Like you got 50 million plus people kind of watching and listening to you. And you shared a lot with us, like, but I think what's most important for us on this show is to give people hope that a failure is not failing at life. And you know, just throw out things that you can think about that will help people the most, whether no matter what walk of life, famous, not famous, big, small, like things that like you feel, you think, like. Like, tell me what that is.
Man, I'm not that wise, man. Some days you feel like shit, some days you don't. It's life. Stop listening to people, believe in yourself, and go to the gym. It actually does, like, change your mental state.
Also, it's just a snapshot in time. Just because you fail, it doesn't define the rest of you. It's just, okay, this is what happened today.
You can have one bad day, and then the next day is, like, the best day of your life. And then it can go right back to shitty, or you could just be on this high of like, it's like life's a roller coaster.
It really is. A roller coaster. Highs and lows, right?
Highs and lows.
So
love
I mean,
the highs. The highs are awesome. The lows suck.
I think, wouldn't you say though, the lows in your life, and it sounds like in yours too, are what led to the highs. Think about the highest high.
Because that loop, it goes like this, and then,
right.
You know, in a roller coaster, you just shoot right back up.
Yeah, the failures, it's fuel. You know, I mean, when you fail, you can lay down and stay in your house and cry about it. But if you can turn it to something positive and allow it to, you know, drive you, say, I'm not going to be like this. This is not going to work. This is not the conclusion. You know, that's how you turn around.
Yeah. It's for both of you, for all of us. That's kind of been this show has been it's looking at like I said, success is the things that happen between failure. Cause you got to try and you got to, you know, achieve. And I'm sure it's not the last time you're not going to win always. It's not the last thing you're going to go try at. And you're not going to always win. Like we're all going to try and fail again, right? We're not going to try to fail, but like, you know, it's life. Life is about trying over and over again, failing, getting back up and trying again. Like, you know, you just went and did BKFC, which means you're going to probably go do something even crazier and you're not going to win at all of them, right? Nobody does. It's impossible. I think it's just, you know, for me, it's always been the same thing. Get back up. Do it again. Don't care what other people think. Move forward, right? Give us your last minute advice on failure to the world.
I think we've said it so many times.
Is that why they call you the bull? Because you never give up? You kind of run through it?
I don't know. I don't know where that came
head
from.
Head first.
He's like,
I don't know.
Bull
maybe
knows
it's
everything.
Yeah, like you run. Maybe it's because when you were fat, like your stomach was like hanging down.
Like a
so
bull.
You just like were walking like this.
No, you're right. It's probably that.
That's probably what it was.
I can't figure it out.
I just said it. It's probably like the stomach thing.
Oh, bulls are pretty like strong usually. No, that's like
no.
A cow.
No,
it's not Brad it's the
not,
cow.
It's not that definitely is not a thing.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Brad the cow.
That was Brad the Bull.
No, the cow has a ring, though.
Yeah, that just ended. That thing just ended. No.
Well, you know, I have the pleasure of having two brothers, and hopefully you guys today got to see and hear, whether you're watching or listening, you know, a little bit of insight into Bryce and Brad's lives of, you know, you got, you know, here a person who has 50 million people hanging on his every word. And as you're hearing, like, you know, he's failed, and it's those failures that pushed him to go win and pushed him to get back up and do it again. And it's led to his biggest successes. And as you know, we say in our quotes, it's, you know, kind of may you know the sweetness of success, but the darkness of defeat. Neither one exists without each other. And, you know, we're hopefully here to show people the world isn't all Instagram bows and, you know, perfect pictures. And that's not how it works. So,
I have one more thing.
Yes.
Because this is what I actually did in the beginning. I remembered you need small goals. So the goal wasn't to win the bodybuilding competition in the beginning. It wasn't to lose, you know, 60 pounds. It was to show up every single day at the gym, you know, and it was to make every meal was weigh and measure the food. Just small. Every day was a small victory.
Taking a step.
Yeah. And then piece together. Yeah. And I would take weekly progress photos and then didn't look at the weekly.
Right.
My trainer would show them to me after we had 8 weeks.
Yep.
So you can see the transformation. And then once you see it working,
yeah,
it's more fuel again. So just the small victories.
That's the best advice is, you know, because it is. Success is a bunch of small victories that then lead to the big, right?
Because so, if not, if you're just looking for the big picture, you're going to give up. If right. It takes a year, if it takes 6 months and you don't see that happening, you're going to go, fuck,
you just got to show up. Half of it is showing up.
Yeah.
Every day, showing up, not giving up, and just being there and letting the world come to you. Because it's not going to come to you if you sit at home.
Right.
Right, like you said, it's calories in, calories out. There's you know, how many pounds you're lifting. 45 pounds doesn't change how much it weighs, right?
Right.
But that's true in any part of life. Like I said, I'm blessed to have you guys as brothers and friends. I'm gonna tell one story just because it's a lot of people ask me. So, Brad and I were obviously went to high school together, as you guys hear, and went to college together, and kind of bumped into each other on and off in life, and I hadn't seen him in probably 20 years. And my now ex-wife and best friend who I have a child with says, "When did you, do you remember this guy, Brad Baskett?" And I said, I do. Why? And she's like, "He wants to have dinner with you." I said, "He wants to have dinner with me? Why? I haven't seen him forever since college." And, well, past college, but surely. And she said, "Because, you know, we met at this park and he won't go out with me without your permission when he heard that I was your ex-wife." And, I was like, wow, like that doesn't, I didn't know people like that in this world existed. So he came to my house with Jess, he had dinner. She went in the other room to go play with Tommy. And he literally just looked me in the eyes and he's like, "Look, if you said no, I would totally understand. You know, it's a small world. We know each other really well. We knew each other, we hadn't talked in years, but like, I wouldn't fault you if you said you didn't want me to date her. Like, but I'm not gonna go, I won't go on a date with her unless you give your blessing." And you know, turns out they lived a block from each other. And there was a park between their house and they both had their kids and met at this park and they went and had coffee. And as Brad's saying, "Oh yeah, I grew up in Brentwood." And she's like, "Oh, my ex-husband grew up in Brentwood." And she's like, Brad says, he's like, what's his name? And she's like, "Oh, I mean, Brentwood's a big place." He's like, "No, it's really not." And then she said, "Well, his name's Ryan Cowan." He's like, "Oh shit, we can't finish this coffee." And so since then I inherited a brother and the three of us we do everything together, everything, our trips, our family. We have like the most beautiful life together. And it's been a blessing. And since Bryce has joined, we kind of all do everything together now. It's like one big dysfunctional, but amazing family.
I'm bleeding a lot right now.
Are you really? What'd you do? How'd you do that?
I don't know.
Who'd you punch?
Dude, I don't remember doing
that. Oh, you're going to get sued again?
Here's the dysfunction.
We're just talking.
Can I just get a napkin and then we can continue this?
So what I realized is, had I not failed at my marriage and you not failed at your marriage, we wouldn't be here as brothers, best friends, and none of us, actually. You wouldn't be with Bryce. We wouldn't be connected.
I'm really glad you guys failed your marriages.
I mean, you're kind of like the
don't
product.
Don't worry, you got one coming.
You realize that you think he's got one? You think he's going to only have one failed marriage?
That's crazy.
I'm up for 3 to 4.
You guys are saying that right in front of me. Stop it. No, it's not.
That's so nice of you guys. Thank you.
We believe in you guys a lot. I give you guys 10 years is a really good long marriage these days.
Yeah.
Right? You guys have at least 10
years. We got at least 10.
I was just going to say, though, what's funny is Bryce is like the product of two failed marriages.
That's true. A stretch.
No, I like that. True.
You are.
Hell yeah.
Think about that.
That's a stretch.
Good job, guys.
I don't even know what to say to this. Shit just got weird.
I love you guys, and I appreciate you coming on the show, and I appreciate you opening up the way you did. You know, hopefully we can help some people. That's the point of the show, is to help people see real life, not what's painted with those, you know,
don't
perfect
give up.
Brushes.
Do not give up.
Don't give up. Thank you for joining us in failure. Thank you, Bryce. Thank you, Brad. Live another, to fight another day. Get up, get back in that arena, marred with sweat and dust and tears, and keep fighting. All right.
Peace.
Thanks.